We will remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. The reading will be found in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood by there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked around at all the things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have your word. We are so blessed to have your spirit poured out so that we can interpret and understand and learn from your word. Help us to learn this morning as we seek your guidance and your wisdom in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. It is a blessing to once again be here in the pulpit at Church of the King. And as Pastor Walters did a few weeks ago, I will continue on in the series from Mark that Pastor Liberati has been taking us through. Now, while the text before us this morning would more often be used for a lesson about Palm Sunday, I think it can also be very relevant to this time of year in the church calendar where we have a focus on obedience. Now, I appreciated how Pastor Liberati used the example of a fine diamond when he considered a major doctrine like baptism, reminding us that its glory can be seen in various ways from different angles and in different light. Now, I would argue this morning that this same principle can be expanded to include all of the scriptures that God has revealed to us. Just consider what the Apostle Paul teaches us about the scriptures in his second letter to young Timothy. There he writes, "All scripture..." Kids, I need help there. What does that mean? How much of Scripture? Oh, okay. Make sure we got that right. He writes, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So as we study any portion of our Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we should always ask, is this for reproof or correction? Is it for my instruction? And how can it help me to be equipped for the good works or obedience? Thus, the text before us from Mark could certainly be used, and often is, as part of the message on Palm Sunday, to teach us about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We could use it to explain why Jesus cleansed the temple at both the beginning and the end of his earthly ministry, just as the Old Testament priest did to homes with dangerous mold. And of course, we can also turn it just a bit and find an important lesson about obedience which is what I want us to consider here this morning. Now, those who know me will not be surprised by that subject title, because I often focus on the importance of obedience. And I speak here, as always, of faithful obedience, not legalism. And I speak of simple obedience, not perfection. Now, I mentioned the church calendar because there is a strong emphasis on obedience that is found in it this time of year. We will shortly enter the season of Advent, which is both the beginning and the end of our church calendar, where we remember the comings of Jesus. We will remember both his incarnation, where he came to save his people from their sins, and his final return as the just judge of all the earth. Following Advent, we have a season of Epiphany, or revealing, where we focus on the life, the ministry, and the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. With Palm Sunday, we begin what is called the Passion Week, where Jesus comes to Jerusalem at his appointed time to be the sacrifice for sin, and then is gloriously raised for our sanctification. 7 weeks later, we come to the ascension of Jesus to the Father's right hand and the pouring out of the Spirit on the church as Jesus had promised. From Pentecost Sunday until the next Advent season, we count the Sundays of ordinary or normal time. Anybody remember what Sunday we're on? Paul even mentioned it. 23. It's always right on the front of the gown. Now, to be honest, when we founded the church and we began to use these major events in the church calendar to be instructive and to remind us year after year about our Christian walk, I thought this part of the calendar was a bit strange. You know, as I started to look at it, I said, what did they run out of things to focus on? You know, just week after week after week, we got this ordinary time. What I've come to understand and have strived over the years to pass along to others, especially our children, is how that series of Sundays is intended to draw our attention and our lives to obedience, which is what makes it, which makes our text timely. Basically, we have half of the church calendar that's focused on Jesus and his work and what he has done, and the other half reminding us about the work that we have to do, not to earn our salvation, that's earned by Christ, but as a means that God uses to accomplish his work as his kingdom fills all the earth. This is why the Apostle Paul ends his glorious summary, which we often quote in our time of absolution, our summary of salvation by grace, with this call in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is why our Heidelberg Catechism begins in part with, because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready to live for him. And yes, living for him involves obedience. The Apostle Paul also reminded the saints at Colossae of this great truth in a passage that, quite honestly, God planted me at for many years. Colossians 2:6 reads, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding with it in thanksgiving. I was saved by faith, and I have walked by faith for some 45 years now. This is why the Apostle James reminds us that saving faith and faithful works are inseparable. At James 2:26, he writes, For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A living body requires the spirit. If the spirit has departed, we declare the person to be dead. And so saving faith requires faithful works. So with that in mind, I want us to see how it is requested of those disciples, how what is requested of those disciples should remind us that God uses means. And that is why our obedience is so important. Listen again to that portion of Mark's account. He said, "Go into the village opposite you." This is Christ's instruction to his disciples. "As soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside of the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And he spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now let's take a moment to ponder all of the means that are crammed into those few verses as an encouragement for us to better serve Jesus in our daily tasks. Now, I probably should explain for the younger folks what I mean by means. Means, you know, English is a fun language, isn't it? God uses means. He uses things. If we need to put a hammer into a piece of wood, what do you grab? I mean, if you need to put a nail into a piece of wood, what do you grab? A hammer. The hammer is the means by which you're going to put that nail in the wood. You wouldn't grab a sponge. You wouldn't use your hand. You know, we use logical things to use means. Now, we need to remember, God doesn't need means, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, spoke everything that exists out of nothing. Not like he needs means, but he uses means. So let's look at again. What things did he use in this account? First, you have the faithful disciples. They were part of God's means. They followed the instructions of Jesus. Now, that might seem like a no-brainer, right? Jesus tells you to get up and go out and get something outside. You get up and you go out and get it. But we need to think about how often we individually or collectively wander from the simple instructions that Jesus gives to us today. In the church, Jesus tells us to do the Lord's Supper, which we'll celebrate this morning. Do it as his memorial with bread and wine. And yet there are many who think, crackers and grape juice will do just fine. In the home, Jesus tells us again and again that we should not spare the rod if we love our child. And yet we insist today that, time out or other diversions are just as good. When it comes to government, Jesus tells us that the magistrate is given the sword to be a terror to evildoers. But sadly today, we on almost all sides of the political aisle use it to oppress law-abiding citizens and even to kill innocent children. In contrast, these disciples followed the instructions of Jesus to the letter. And we would be wise to do the same, remembering that Jesus said it is those who hear and do his teachings that have houses that are built on the rock. Now, next we come to the faithful citizens of Bethany who had raised livestock, including donkeys. And you think, what is the big deal there? You could find a donkey in most any place at that time. The point is that Jesus used someone's donkey. He used means. As the Lord of creation, he called forth all the beasts of the field, and he could have created his own special donkey for this grand entrance into Jerusalem. Just as he did the wine at the wedding of Canaan, or all of the food for the feedings of the 4,000 and 5,000. Making things is no problem for Jesus. But no, Jesus chose to use means. And that means was someone's donkey who had faithfully raised that donkey. The simple lesson is that we want all of our possessions to be available for God's use when the Master says he has need of them. And that certainly includes taking good care of them and keeping them in good shape. The same applies to all those coats that were provided for a saddle for Jesus and a path for the road. As the kingdom of Jesus continues to fill the earth, the Spirit often desires to use us and our possessions as his means. Now, coming back to the church calendar, those many weeks of ordinary time come year after year, reminding us that our obedience is a lifelong joy and obligation. Some obedience is pretty simple and short. Henry, take out the garbage. Pretty simple, pretty easy to do. But that garbage will have to be taken out over and over again. If we tire of any task like that, children, when you're tempted to grumble because you have to do the same thing day after day, we should think about how faithful our loving God is to have the sun come up every morning. Or on a more personal level, to have our heart and lungs continue to work as we sleep through the night. Other obedience can be complex and long-term. We have been blessed to see several new people and families taking the membership vows here at Church of the King in recent weeks, which involve a lot of different obligations. And I can look around and see that there are still some here almost 20 years later that are still keeping those same vows. That takes time and effort over a long period of time. When couples take their wedding vows, that certainly involves a long-term commitment. We say until death do us part. And we commit to be loyal and always madly in love. We don't think about that often enough. Now, that's not just with the passion of youth, but is committed to a long-term love that matures and remains in good times and bad. We've also been blessed to baptize several children and individuals this past month. And we all took vows, along with the parents, to assist in raising them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Again, God uses means. Adam and Eve were created fully mature. So one could ask, well, why does God not grow his church and our families with more fully mature additions? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? Well, that's not for us to question, first and foremost. We just know that he told both Adam and again Noah to be fruitful and fill the earth. Now, we know that under the fall, men who labor to take care of their families can be frustrated because God told Adam that cursed is the ground for your sake, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Some might say, well, that's not fair. Why should John's business suffer just because Adam did something wrong in the garden? Well, again, not for us to ask. Our job is to obey by working hard to the glory of God, because our labor is certainly part of the means that God uses to advance his kingdom. The same is true of the woman's work in the home. Remember, the garbage only goes out once a day, but those dishes, they pile up at least 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times in a day. When the Lord blesses her with children, as he promises, they come with much pain. As infants, they have to be fed, clothed, and discipled. not simply as little angels to admire, though cute pictures of our grandkids are pretty tempting on that front. Yes, children are not left out of these lessons. Yours is pretty simple, but very profound. Your command from Paul is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's Ephesians 6:1. Similar instruction in Colossians. Now, this command would be much easier, wouldn't it, kids, if your parents were not redeemed sinners like yourself. That is a tension that goes on for a lifetime because we do live in a fallen world. But it's a simple command and we shouldn't set it aside. Well, my parents, they did this, or my kids, they did that. No, we're in the business of reconciliation and keeping those commandments. The bottom line is that we all find ourselves, everyone here this morning, is in a particular place in history. You weren't born in the time of the Reformation, as much as some of us would like to be. You weren't born at the time of Christ, though that would have been fun. We weren't born any time other than the 21st or 20th, for those of us that are older, century. We're here at a particular place in history. And we live in a particular place. You guys all live in the area of Sacramento, not Miami, not Russia, not, heaven forbid, Ukraine or Israel right now. Those people need our prayers, but we can't ignore where God has put us and stop asking, what is it that God wants me to do? So we are to discern when and where we are to obey. Doesn't do us any good to learn lessons about how they should obey or someone else should obey. How should we obey? We need to discern and seek what good works we were created in Christ Jesus to walk in. And then walk in them by God's grace. In our text, Jesus used a donkey. He used some obedient disciples and a few coats to accomplish one of the most important events in the history of the world. He came to Jerusalem at his appointed time to do his appointed work, and that was his entrance. And he did it with those simple means. What will God be using in your life this week to advance his kingdom is a question we should all be asking. And don't overthink it. And remember, it is the simple obediences that are often the most important because they are used by a mighty God. Our hymn of response is going to be the singing of Psalm 8, where we find a great example of our lesson, or at least something we ought to be thinking about. The psalm begins with Jehovah our Lord in all the earth. How excellent is your name. You above the heavens have set the splendor of your fame. Now that doesn't sound like anybody that needs means or our help. And looking at Almighty God, that's true. But as we sing that verse, it would be not right, based on our lesson day, to ask, well, what could I possibly add to that? The lesson seems to be that we can. And as we sing it heartily this afternoon, we should reflect on God's use of means to ponder the wonder of what follows in the next line. Again, we just sang, Jehovah our Lord in all the earth, how excellent is your name. You above the heavens have set splendor of your fame. And then it reads, from the mouth of infants young, you the power of praise compose in the face of enemies to stop the avenging foe. That should challenge and encourage all of us to joyfully do all the little things that God expects of us this week and for the rest of our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the guidance of your Spirit. May He richly bless us with this lesson, and may He empower us to walk faithfully this week, day by day, moment by moment, in things little and things large, to do your will and to help with the building of your kingdom as your Spirit empowers us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
Amen.